For a short while this evening, we'll be talking about a subject that's we've heard many times before. This is just kind of a refresher since it is an open subject. But as we go through our lives, we have multiple acquaintances, whether they be friends, co-workers, colleagues, fellow students, whatever the case may be. All in all, for the most part, most of the people that we encounter on a daily basis have a are fairly good. They're good people. They mean well. They don't steal. They, you know, the big sins, as some people might say. They don't kill people. They don't go out and rob people, things like that. All in all, you know, they have a decent moral compass. May not be as completely in line with what we know as Christians God would have us do or would have us be, but for the most part, the people that we encounter in our daily lives are good folks. But as Christians, we know that there are certain standards, there are certain obligations, there are certain requirements that God has for us, other than just being a okay person. And so for tonight, we're going to talk about if it's enough. And as we know, the average person walking on the earth today and the way they live their lives and the way they try and you know, coexist with everyone else, we know that in a lot of ways it's not. As I said before, there are many people even in the religious world who have a very narrow concept of Christianity and what it takes to get to heaven. We find similar attitude among members of the church sometimes as well. In the denominations, there are people who think God is not very strict and to just believe in His existence, it will promise them salvation. We hear it all the time that God is a loving God. God wouldn't punish us for trying to live a good life, a good and decent life. As a matter of fact, in a survey of several thousand people, it was revealed that 67% of those interviewed believed in heaven, and 88% of those who believed in heaven were sure they were going. You also have sometimes members of the church who seem to think that just because they've been baptized, as long as they stay out of trouble and get to go to communion every Lord's Day, or at least most of the time, that the Lord will surely save them. Some of these folks expect to be saved by the bare stint of duty, or by just the bare necessities. In this article that I was reading, when I was kind of going over this, and this is from a previous lesson, they were trying to show evidence or showing facts to show that in the Bible, that God has a plan of salvation, which requires more than some believe it takes to get to heaven, as we all know. So tonight we're going to talk about and ask ourselves a question: is it enough? First, it's not enough to just be morally good. As I said before, for the most part, the people that we run into on a daily basis have a moral compass of some type, or an idea of what it is to be a good person, to be just. But we know it's not enough to just be morally good. It is true that Christians are to be good, moral people if they hope to get to heaven. This is a fact. But morality alone will not save us. The scriptures, Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 through 22, we have an example of one of those most moral and basically good young men anyone could ever hope to find. He kept all the commandments of the Lord from his childhood up, but failed to be saved when told by Jesus there was one other thing he needed to do. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that he went away sorrowful. His morality was was not enough. Some seem to think that regardless of what they believe, if they're just religious, they will surely get to heaven. However, we are told in Acts chapter 17, when the Apostle Paul went to Athens, Greece, he found a city steeped in religious error. The people even had an altar with the inscription to the unknown God, whom they ignorantly worshipped. And when Paul was given the opportunity to speak to the people, he referred to that altar and then said he was going to tell them about this God. In his speech, he told them that there was a time when God winked at ignorance, but he now commands all men everywhere to repent, because there's going to be a resurrection and all people everywhere are going to be judged by Jesus in that day. Acts chapter 17, verses 30 and 31. So, just being religious and believing in something is not enough. Many people throughout the world claim to worship God in one way or another. They think it makes no difference to the Lord how, as long as we worship. But like so many other times, whenever there's discrepancy in what we know for a fact or what may be questionable, let's see what the Bible has to say about it. The teaching of the Bible, and is that all it takes, we need to know what all it takes to please the Lord. Jesus says in John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." In Acts chapter 8, we are told of a man who traveled over 1,000 miles to worship God, only to find he was wrong, and his worship was unacceptable to the Lord. And when he learned the truth, he accepted it immediately. When he obeyed the gospel, it says he went on his way rejoicing. Find that in Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 39. But just to worship the Lord is not enough, regardless of how honest we may be about it. We must worship in spirit and in truth. We can see by the scriptures to worship the Lord is important. But to only worship occasionally is not enough. The scriptures indicate that it was the practice of faithful Christians to assemble each first day of the week on the Lord's Day to worship God. We find this in Acts chapter 20, verse 7. And in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 25 through 29, we're informed that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. The writer lets us know that it is a willful sin for one to make this mistake. I'm going to stop here for a moment and kind of reflect back on several months ago when we were real busy at work. Cars just coming in all over the place. I mean, y'all live here in San Angelo. Y'all see how most of these situations happen. I mean, sometimes it just happens. I mean, get distracted. It happens every day. Sometimes a lot more often every day than we'd all like. But so we got real busy. Well, when the season gets real busy, it's very hard to stop what you're doing and try and pick it up the next day. And so working late at night is the best way to do it. Well, somewhere down the line, I thought it would be a good decision to just start working every night late, which included Wednesday. So I started to miss services. And then as you started to get, I started to get acclimated to the extra work and was able to get things done and where I wasn't having to stay so late. I was still staying later than usual, but I noticed I wasn't coming to services Wednesday night. And then, as y'all know, those who were here a while back, I kind of, light bulb came on, realized what was going on, and was doing some reading, and I came across that verse, and everything kind of connected, and realized I was in error. So, we have to be careful. And say that to anybody to, I guess, to make them feel guilty or to even make myself feel guilty, but it's just one of those things. It's actually a very good thing to be in a situation like that where you're in error. You read the scripture that talks about that specific thing. It's actually a really good feeling, in a way, to be in the wrong, read about how to correct it, to be able to correct it. The feeling of getting back where you need to be far outweighs the whatever feeling you're getting by not doing it. So maybe for that, $1.50 you can get a Coke. I don't know. But anyway, moving on. Before we get too out in left field, the writer lets us know that it is a willful sin for one to make this mistake. Jesus says to his disciples, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." We read this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Which simply means put God first in our lives before everything else. Christians need to learn this important lesson. We all do. Everyone in the world. The sooner we learn this lesson, I think the better off everyone will be. It is not enough to worship just occasionally. How important is it that we be sincere and diligent in serving the Lord? Well, James helps us with that. He informs us in James chapter 2, verse 10 and 11, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, 'Do not commit adultery,' said also, 'Do not kill.' Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty." That's kind of an eye-opener. Once again, it says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." It would be awful to come up short in the day of judgment thinking that we are going to heaven, thinking that we dotted our I's, crossed our T's, we did everything that we were supposed to, walked the straight and narrow, checked everything off the list in our minds that we were doing what we needed to do, only to be renounced by the Lord and lost forever. You know, back when Brother Cullen was here and working with the congregation, we took a trip to a meeting. And I think I've told this story before, but anyway, on the way to the meeting, we stopped at a convenience store. A convenience store. And, you know, they have that little bakery off in the corner. And he grabbed, you know, just, you know, a couple of cookies. And while we were in line waiting to the cashier, you know, he was just, you know, one cookie down, two cookie down. We were just sitting there waiting. It was a pretty long line. Well, it turns out we made it out of that convenience store about 10 miles further down the road when all of a sudden he said, "I didn't pay for those cookies." They were about 10 cents a piece, but he said, "I didn't pay for those. Remind me on our way back to stop at this convenience store so I can take care of that." And, you know, as a young child, I was thinking, it's 10 cents. Really, it's not that big a deal. But anyway, it was real late the night when we started traveling back, and I was half asleep. And then I noticed, you know, the car jostled a little bit. We were pulling into the parking lot of that convenience store. He goes in. He talks. I can see through the window that the guy, the cashier, is just kind of, it wasn't even the same cashier, I don't recall. I don't really remember, but I don't think it was the same cashier. And he just looked like Cullen came from outer space. It was just crazy. So he gets back in the car, and I said, "You really stopped just for 10 cents? And he stopped for a second, looked at me in the eye, made a big point, you know, even shut the car off. And he said exactly what this is saying here. He said, "It would be a shame if he did everything right and he was in line at the end of days and he couldn't get in because of those 10 cents worth of cookies." Anyway, it kind of hit me hard. So we have to be careful that we don't get so caught up in not doing the big things that are wrong and that we overlook some of the smallest insignificant things. because those may be the ones that get us in the end. As I said before, it would be awful to come up short in the day of judgment thinking that we are going to heaven only to be renounced by the Lord and lost forever. It's not enough to keep most of the will of God. He wants complete submission to Him and His will. He demands faithfulness. Finally, this evening, it's not enough for a person to just have good intentions and plan someday to do better. The road to destruction is paved with good intentions. To plan someday to obey the gospel or to become more sincere and more dedicated to serving the Lord, can't wait. A person has died unprepared to meet God simply because he put his salvation off for a more convenient time. The Bible says, "Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." It's not enough to just plan to do better. That's all I have this evening. At this time, we want to offer an invitation to any of those who are subject to the gospel call or to any of those who wish to receive the prayers of the church. Whatever the case may be, we would ask that you would come as we stand and sing the song of invitation.